So I just said, with one verse, right? And he's like, yeah, you're on. I'm like, yeah, these hard texts. Jeez. Grace and peace to you from our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Yeah, hard texts. In fact, Miguel even said to me, what's with the gospel? This is often a gospel that's used to really scare people about the end times or about the parousia or the apocalypse, whatever words you want to use to talk about the end times. You've seen movies about them, right? You've read perhaps books about them, stories about playing out how it's going to happen. But I do think Jesus lived in a time when life around him was foretelling what was coming. And what was being said was that it wasn't going to be good. But I also think it's one of those passages that sort of disturbs us enough and wakes us up enough, because it doesn't sound like that meek and mild or that sweet and loving kind of Jesus image that many of us really have and want to hold on to. But I'm not so sure that Jesus was really all that concerned about the end times. I don't think he was really worried about preparing people for the end of the world. I think he was more concerned about preparing people for their lives in the here and the now and the struggles that they were going through today. So, the meek and mild kind of Jesus, right? The one that seems like we want to sit on his lap and just listen forever. Or like Mary and Martha, cook and sit in his lap and just enjoy his company. Well, to be honest, I haven't ever really been all that drawn to that meek and mild kind of Jesus. Not only do I find it kind of boring, I find it untrue, and I find it not very biblical or very scriptural. I think it's really nice to know people who are meek and mild. I think it's good that we have people who are meek and mild, but I find it really difficult to be around them for too long. I don't find in meek and mild relationships a place where I want to stay for a very long time. Often such relationships to me are not actually all that peaceful or life-giving. They're often filled with fear, trepidation, and oftentimes apathy, a lack of caring or a lack of engaging with what's going on for the purpose of staying meek and mild. I appreciate relationships with a little spice in them, a little bit of kind of roughness around the edges, discussion, and perhaps even difference of opinion. In Jesus' world, there was an understanding that when people failed to live up to God's law of love, that bad things were going to happen to the whole people of God. There was also an understanding that if the population or that whole populace that was not living up to God's law, if they would repent and returned to God's law, then bad things would not happen. It's the reason that John the Baptist was so popular. And it's the reason I think that Jesus preached the way of repentance. There were also wonderful stories in the Old Testament, right, about this whole theme. The tale of Jonah, which we're told that such repentance could avert that kind of massive destruction. Also the story or the history of Judah, told of the return of God's law under Josiah that brought cohesion to the nations instead of collision and division. But in Jesus' day, that national unity had been lost when it was subjected to that Roman Empire and rule. About 100 years, a little history lesson, about 100 years before Jesus, the warring parties of the Sadducees and the Pharisees had invited the Roman Republic to administer their government and to bring peace, because it's not a peace that they could bring in any other way. It was like the last resort, if you will. But in those 100 years, the Roman Republic, that Roman Empire, had become a growing, powerful empire, and no longer the somewhat sort of republican form of government that once made it so attractive to those people. So by Jesus' time, by Jesus' day, it was a difficult place to be. And it was difficult to become a Roman citizen. And the Roman army became the arbitrators of Roman justice. And it was more of like a bully kind of form of government, if you can even call it governing and organizing and ruling. High taxes made it impossible for people on the bottom rungs of society to live with all that they needed. These high taxes throughout the empire also made small nations and small countries sort of stripped of their own cultural dignity and their own cultural customs. They couldn't hold on to who they were anymore. This was a very difficult reality. So here we have Jesus proclaiming peace, Jesus calling and commanding peace in a way. It was a peace that was not going to be enforced by a foreign army, not going to be brought in by the Roman Empire. The peace that Jesus proclaimed was a peace that demanded that people treat one another with respect, that all people were created and made equal in the image of God. That neighbor was to be loved simply because he was neighbor. And there was this care that was supposed to be given to the poor, the widowed, and the orphaned, those who couldn't care for themselves in society. And I also think that Jesus saw that this kind of peace was not going to be developed without the turning around of values of the present-day culture that they were in the midst of. And in some way, those prevailing cultural attitudes of greed and selfishness and power grabbing had to be faced head on, not sort of diverted around, but head on. It was not going to be easy to change, and it would demand not just a change in government, but it would take a change of heart of the people as well. So this kind of faithfulness, this kind of following of the gospel would create division, even in one's own family. So, do you see any similarities between Jesus' time and ours? Few, right? If you don't see them, I don't think you're really listening to the gospel, because they're there. I don't know exactly about the political and economic similarities. I know there's some there as well. But a God who is meek and mild is not going to lead us, even though we think it might. We want a strong God, right? We want a God who will make God's will known. I think we're a little confused about who God is. Because yet that's precisely the opposite of what Jesus offers the world. Jesus comes with peace and respect and equality and caring, and yet we want something to be more powerful than that. But there's a power in that kind of God. The kind of peace that God offers us today is the same as the day in Jesus, one that is generated in honesty, integrity, and goodwill. It's a peace that cannot be rooted in violence or maintained by armies or other ways of force. I think it's a peace that's rooted not in what's best for individual or corporation even, but it's rooted in what's best for the commonwealth, for the overall common good, with enough mercy to take care of the exceptions. I remember in one of my previous relationships in a congregation, I remember the discussions we'd have about individual preferences. I mean, this is just sort of the small scale, right, of what individuals would want in the life of their church. And I would always say, but what's best for the whole community? ? What's best for the whole community? What's best for our neighborhood? What's best for the world around us? I know what we want. I know what I want. But what does God need in the midst of all of us? I don't think peace can be based on that sort of trickle-down theory or in a theory of God helps those who help themselves, which isn't scriptural, by the way. I think peace must be radically imprinted on the fabric of the world, on all of our hearts, that all are created equal before the Creator. The peace of God is not necessarily meek and mild. The peace of God is hard work and a different kind of power. It requires diligence and the willingness to engage in a world with all of its desires for greed and power, and to show it what real peace is like. I think this peace and achieving this peace demands a willingness to look at ourselves without averting our eyes from the advantages that we have simply because we live in an empire. With God and a lot of hard work, I think we can find a way outside of that empire, outside of the empire of power and greed and position. And it happens at the most unexpected times when we can be in that place of God's peace. I don't know if some of you follow me on Facebook, and I had a picture this week of beautiful picture in Egypt of these Muslim men standing in front of the Roman Catholic Cathedral. It takes strength to be people of peace. It takes fearlessness to be people of peace. And today's gospel call, I think, is to allow ourselves to bring the divisions in our lives that will help to separate us from the ways that are not of God and into a type of living in the kingdom of God so that all know God's peace. Amen.